What if blessing and disaster, revival and ruin, turn not on wealth or rituals, but on one thing? Will God's people humble themselves, repent, and depend on Him alone? Are modern believers clinging to spiritual lucky rabbit's feet, wealth, routine, or their own identity instead of genuine repentance and trust in the living God? Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. If you have not checked us out, go to fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. And if you have not downloaded that Washington Defender app, today is the day. Go to the Apple App Store or the Google Play and download it today. All these devotions are hosted right there inside of the app. If you enjoy these daily devotionals, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment. And if you are in our app, place it in that huddle. It really does help us change hearts so we can change the public square. Finally, if you are a monthly partner with FPIW, whether it's $5 a month, $10, $20, $25, whatever, we are so thankful for your generosity and partnering with us as we endeavor to defend and advance biblical values in the public square. So let's dive into the Old Testament Tuesday. Now, we usually are going through the book of Romans, but on Tuesdays, we do go into the Old Testament and look at, right now we're going through the book of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel chapter 7 was delivered during a critical moment in Israel's history, and it was shortly before the final Babylonian destruction of Jerusalem. The chapter dates are around 591 BC and during the sixth year of King Zedekiah's reign. While Ezekiel and many Judeans were exiles in Babylon, and Jerusalem was under increasing threat from Babylonian forces. And so we're going to call this divine accountability. And again, why do we go from New Testament, Old Testament? Because the Old Testament is our object lesson oftentimes of how we should be forewarned and how we are to live in today's society and culture, because the God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. He's everlasting to everlasting. And so in verses 1 through 4, there's an announcement of the end. It says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'And you, son of man, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel, an end. The end is coming on the four corners of the land. Now the end is upon you, and I will send my anger against you. I will judge you according to your ways and bring all your abominations upon you. For my eyes will have no pity on you, nor will I spare you, but I will bring your ways upon you, and your abominations will be among you. Then you will know that I am the Lord.'" And I love this because oftentimes we think, well, we'll get away with our abominations before God, our disobedience to Him. And He says, nope, that ain't going to happen. And whether it's the United States, whether it's Israel, here it's referring to Israel, the older brother, we need to learn from our older brother that God is a God who keeps His word. And He's going to do this. He's going to do this end, quote, end thing, because He wants us to know that the Lord, He says, "The abominations will be among you, then you will know that I am the Lord." He wants us to know that He is the Lord. And so thinking through that, thinking through the very fact that God is the same yesterday, today, and every single day, and tomorrow. The unprecedented disaster, thus says the Lord God, a disaster, unique disaster, behold, is coming. An end is coming. The end has come. It has awakened against you. Behold, it has come. Your doom has come to you, O inhabitants of the land. The time has come. The day is near. Tumult rather than joyful shouting on the mountains. Now I will shortly pour out my wrath on you and spend my anger against you. Judge you according to your ways and bring on you all your abominations. My eye will show no pity, nor will I spare. I will repay you according to your ways while your abominations are in your midst. Then you will know that I, the Lord, do the smiting." Did you see that? He wants them to know that He is the one who corrects them. He wants them to know it is not their false gods, their false religion. It is not anything else. It's not the other nations. It is Him. And God is going to correct his people one day. We know that. We know that he is coming to a place of correction. And we understand that Israel is still very precious in the sight of God, that God loves Israel as a nation uniquely above all other nations. We understand all that. We also know that God loves his church, and we know that he's refining his church, and that repentance starts with the household of God. And so why am I saying this to you? It's important as you go throughout your work week that you understand that God is holy, and he says, be holy as I am holy. And there are times that God corrects us, just like he's correcting Israel right here. Let's learn from Israel's mistakes and examples. Let's not repeat them. So there's going to be some social and economic upheaving in verses 10 through 13. It says, behold, it is coming. Your doom has gone forth. The rod has budded. Arrogance has blossomed. Violence has grown into a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain, none of their people, none of their wealth, nor anything imminent among them. The time has come. The day has arrived. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for the wrath is against all their multitudes. Indeed, the seller will not gain what he sold as long as they both live. For the vision regarding all their multitude will not be averted, nor will any of their of them maintain his life by his iniquity. Did you notice that? We're not going to maintain our lives through our sinful behavior against God. God's going to correct us. And basically, there's going to be an economic hardship. This is how oftentimes that God corrects. And whether this is a prophecy for today, we know this was a prophecy back in Ezekiel's day, like we stated at the very beginning, that around 590, if I remember correct, that this is what happened in Jerusalem and the surrounding area. Desolation, despair, and helplessness, verses 14 through 18. They have blown the trumpet and made everything ready, but no one is going to the battle. For my wrath, God's wrath, is against all their multitude. The sword is outside, and the plague and the famine are within. He who is in the field will die by the sword. Famine and the plague will also consume those in the city. Even when their survivors escape, they will be on the mountains like doves of the valleys, all of them mourning each over his own iniquity or sin. All hands will hang limp, and all knees will become like water. They will gird themselves with sackcloth, and shuddering will overwhelm them, and shame will be on faces and baldness on their heads. See, we see that they are not going to get away with it. We will not get away living in willful disobedience to God, whether it's as an individual or as a people group. It's time that repentance starts with the house of God. We've got to get back to the full counsel of God's word. And if you have somehow compartmentalized your life where you have your Sunday life, your Monday life, your Tuesday life, your Wednesday life, however that might be, God does not respect those boundaries that you've placed upon him. God wants to be 24/7, and he wants Monday through Sunday. He wants you to glorify him. Worthlessness of wealth and idolatry. They will fling their silver into the streets, and their gold will become an abhorrent thing. Their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. Your 401k will not deliver you in the day of the wrath of God. Only Jesus Christ will deliver you. And hopefully you've placed your hope and your trust in him. They cannot satisfy their appetite, nor can they fill their stomachs, for their iniquity has become an occasion of stumbling. They transformed the beauty of his ornaments into pride, and they made their images of their abominations and their detestable things with it. Therefore, I will make an abhorrent thing to them. I will give it into the hands of the foreigners as plunderers, and to the wicked of the earth as spoil, and they will profane it. I will also turn my face from them, and they will profane my secret place. Then robbers will enter and profane it. So we see that our wealth is going to be worth nothing. I mean, that's in the days of Ezekiel, but we can learn from this, that as the economies and inflation and all these kind of things come to ruin, come to the end because of our disobedience, if we want our wealth to mean anything, let's turn in repentance to Almighty God and allow him to forgive us. Universal ruin and breakdown of society. Make the chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes and the city is full of violence. We're seeing that all around the United States right now, even in the state of Washington and Seattle area. Therefore, I will bring the worst of the nations and they will possess their houses. I will also make the pride of the strong ones cease and their holy places will be profaned. When anguish comes, they will seek peace, but there will be none. Disaster will come upon the disaster, and rumor will be added to rumor. Then they will seek a vision from a prophet, but the law will be lost from their priest and counsel from their elders. The king will mourn, the prince will be clothed with horror, and the hand of the people of the land will tremble. According to their conduct, I will deal with them. By their judgments, I will judge them, and they will know that I am the Lord. So that is the end of it. We're gonna know that God is God. There's gonna become a day where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus as Lord. And what do I mean by that? That doesn't mean that everyone's gonna be saved, but there is gonna be a time that everyone's gonna be in the presence of Almighty God for judgment. And I want you to be a believer in Jesus Christ. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We didn't have an angry God in the Old Testament and a cuddly God in the New Testament. He is the same God. He's expressed himself throughout all of history as a God. When one turns to him and says, Lord, I need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. I confess Jesus is Lord, that he's willing to pour out his mercy upon us. So how does this pertain to the public square? First, take God's warning of judgment and understand that you need to be a man or woman of righteousness in the public square today. Understand that you are without exception, that society and culture, you can't blame those who are in your culture, that you have to turn, and that your money isn't going to buy you out of God's wrath. We need to understand that. You need to turn to the living God and repent. And Ezekiel's message really can help us. That's an unavoidable due to the nation's idolatry and corruption. We're living in corrupt times and idolatrous times, and so therefore, let's turn to the living God and say, God, you're right, we're wrong. We humble ourselves before you. God's righteousness in judgment, he will judge according to each one's deeds. We need to emphasize accountability and justice. So think through this, that Ezekiel is calling believers to prioritize spiritual readiness and genuine repentance over false security and empty rituals. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray as we go throughout our day that we won't hold to our lucky rabbit's foot or our money or anything else, rituals, religious rituals, which are like filthy rags to you, but we would turn to you, the living God who loves us, who sent his son to die for us and rose again that we may have newness of life. Give us that newness of life today. Let us walk in joy, getting rid of idolatry, adultery, and everything that just displeases you. And we come before you and we humble our hearts in repentance. Rejuvenate us, refresh us, God. Let us be a state that gets back to loving you. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach. But you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.